The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Jesus said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Let us pray. O God, fount of all wisdom, in the humble witness of the Apostle Peter, you have shown the foundation of our faith. Give us the light of your Spirit, that, recognizing in Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, we may be living stones for the building up of your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word, so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we'll have our first Bible. You're off to Children's Church. You're looking at Moses.
Yeah.
That's right.
And the river. Okay, let's grab that one.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. For the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you're able as we sing our next song, Majesty.
Majesty, come to Jesus.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Well, as over the last few weeks we've been reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we've heard parables and stories about Jesus. And the question I've asked myself, particularly this year, is why did the Gospel writer choose these stories out of all the ones that were floating around? People were telling stories of Jesus, other people had collected some stories of Jesus as well. Like the Gospel of Mark had already been written by the time Matthew was writing. But why did he choose these? And he had a purpose. And his purpose was to encourage his community. His community, people think, had a Jewish background. They knew their scriptures. They knew the prophets had promised a Messiah and a new kingdom. But they were living in a time when there was great tension. The Roman authorities were trying to scapegoat the Christians. They saw them as a threat to the establishment, as the Christians wouldn't participate in public festivals, wouldn't worship the emperor. So what Matthew is seeking to do is writing his gospel was primarily to say, answer the question of who is Jesus? Was he the Messiah promised in the Hebrew scriptures? And if Jesus was the Messiah and he had come, then where was the kingdom that had been promised and foretold by the prophets as well? And these are questions that matter. They mattered to Matthew's community and they matter to our community today. Who are we following and what are we doing? As we led so far in Matthew's gospel, it seems that Jesus had lots of people who came to him. But mostly it seemed they came because he was known as a healer. They came for healing, as we've heard a number of times. We also hear that he had a number of people who followed Jesus. They saw him as a good teacher, a profound teacher, a rabbi. And so they followed him as rabbis were followed in those days. Others, particularly people of Matthew's congregation, would have known the Hebrew scriptures. They would have seen Jesus as the embodiment of great prophets of old. But healer, teacher, and prophet, and yes, Jesus are those things, they're things that Jesus did, but they're not who Jesus is. So at this point in the Gospel, Matthew includes this dialogue. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks. And Simon Peter replies, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The word Messiah is a Hebrew word. It comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, which means anointed one. And in the Hebrew scriptures, three groups of people were referred to as anointed. In the book of Leviticus, we hear that the priests were anointed. They're the ones who offered sacrifices for sin. And then it's used to describe kings. Kings were anointed. God gave power to the kings as his anointed ones. And then a third group were the prophets. And Isaiah says of his ministry in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Anointed ones, priests, kings and prophets were those who had a calling and a mission to tell of God's promises and to work for God's purposes. But then, as the story of Hebrew scriptures developed, past the high points of King David, and Jews always look back to King David as where things always seem to be going really well, their leaders became those who weren't all that they might have been. And so there was a longing for another, a righteous king, an anointed one, a Messiah, who would rule according to God's will to bring justice and people and peace. Number of the Psalms are known as the Royal Psalms, and they are tell of this desire for someone who will be anointed. For instance, Psalm 132, the psalmist says, I will cause a horn to sprout up for David. I prepared a lamp for my anointed one. Then towards the end of a canon of the Hebrew scriptures, in the book of Daniel, which is written, one of the last books to be written, there comes an idea of a redeemer or a savior. And this has a sort of apocalyptic interpretation. The book of Daniel was written at a time of deep crisis. The Greek-speaking rulers of Judea were imposing policies that sought to impose their culture. And the Jews saw that as an attempt to wipe out their whole Jewishness. And so a new thinking arose in Judaism that saw the only way to escape the catastrophic circumstances of a period would be through a divine intervention, the sending of a Messiah who would save humanity from a world gone bad. And in Jesus' day, this was a prominent, predominant view in Judaism. So Peter's statement that Jesus was the Messiah carried a lot of weight. He, and through his recorded words, Matthew declares Jesus is the anointed priest offering sacrifices for us. He is the king of the line of and greater than King David. He was a prophet bringing God's words of truth. He was Savior and Redeemer. And indeed, in Christian interpretation of the Hebrew scriptures, many passages, particularly those from the prophet Isaiah, were seen as directly pointing to Jesus and who he is. That quotation I gave from the book of Isaiah a few moments ago sounded familiar. Let me read the whole verse, Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. It's one of the readings that we often read in Advent as we look forward to the coming of Jesus. And Luke, in his gospel at chapter 4, has Jesus quoting this verse at the start of his ministry. Jesus then says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The other thing I noticed, particularly in our reading today, is that the word that in our English translation is rendered as Messiah, as I've been talking about, in Greek, and Greek was the language that Matthew was writing in, the word is Christos. And that is the same word that elsewhere in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, the book of Acts, in Paul's letters, is rendered in English as Christ. So what this means is this is how the New Testament writers saw Jesus. Jesus is the anointed one, the archetypal and ultimate priest, king and prophet, the savior and redeemer. Jesus the Christ. Powerful words put on Peter's lips. And Matthew places these words at the very center of his gospel, and they are both transformational and foundational. In our reading, Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." There's two points to note here. Firstly, that to truly recognize Jesus is not something that can be worked out. Matthew has been giving us some clues as he's worked up and retold the stories of the parables and the stories of Jesus. But you cannot say, because Jesus did this or because he said that, you can work out for yourself. Rather, to fully know Jesus is a gift of God. St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, "God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." To know Jesus is transformative in all we do. Then, this is the basis of what comes next. What is recorded in the book of Acts? What was going on in Matthew's community? What we are up to today? The rock that is the foundation of the church is Peter's declaration of who Jesus is and Peter's faith in Jesus. It's probably some four centuries later that this verse began to be reinterpreted as a doctrine of apostolic succession. It's a reminder, too, of the purpose of the church, ultimately to build on this central tenet of faith, to speak about Jesus, but also to go back to a question I posed earlier on proclaiming the kingdom. The message that Jesus, just as a healer, a teacher, or a prophet, as some saw him and some people still see him, will not bring about the kingdom of God. Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, has done this. The full expression of the kingdom was still to come in Matthew's day and still to come in our day. But the church is called to give a foretaste of this as we work to bring kingdom values into the world. Think again of that, those words from Isaiah 61 that Luke quotes on Jesus' lips. And remember too, Paul's famous metaphor for the church that we heard this morning in his letter to the Romans. We who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. And therefore, says Paul, we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To know Jesus, therefore, is foundational for all we do. It's an important question that Matthew poses. And Matthew poses it not just to Peter, but to his community and to ours, to all of us. But who do you say that Jesus is? And your answer matters a lot. Amen. Please stand as you're able as we declare our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Pray for the world and for the church.
Our prayers this morning will follow a slightly different format from what we're used to. The events of this week mean there's something I feel very compelled to pray for. And after listening to the 7 a.m. service, I feel this prayer is very meaningful. So my first prayer will end with, Lord, in your mercy, and you'll respond, hear our prayer. My second prayer will be more in keeping with the intercessions of the church, but I'll just keep them all together, and at the end I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and you'll respond, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess you as Messiah, the Anointed One, and as Lord over every power that seeks to dominate, degrade, or destroy. This week we have again been confronted by violence against women and girls in our country. We pray for those who have been raped, sexually assaulted, abused, or threatened. For women who have been attacked in places where they should have been safe. And for those who live with fear. We pray for a healing in our culture in which women and girls are treated as objects to be used, controlled, or harmed. Challenge the attitudes that excuse sexual violence, diminish its seriousness, or remain silent in its presence. We pray especially for boys and men. Teach us to raise young men who understand respect, consent, and the equal dignity of women, and give men the courage to challenge the behaviour of other men. And give us courage, as people who name Christ as Lord, not to remain silent or stand at a distance, but to challenge the attitudes and actions that allow violence to flourish, and to help build communities shaped by dignity, safety, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for our church. We pray for the Church of the Province of West Africa, the Diocese of Tasmania, the Parish of Beenleigh, Anglicare Southern Queensland Home and Community, and St. Francis Theological College. May our leaders stand firm in the face of difficulties and stay true to the mission of telling God's promises. We pray for our communities, for our local schools, Marshall Road Primary, Salisbury Primary, and Yeronga Primary. And we pray for our missionary partners, David and Zoe Brown in Gladstone. We pray for St. Luke's Theatre Society. May our communities be transformed by knowing Jesus. We pray for the sick, the frail, and the distressed. In our parish, we pray for those who have asked for our support: Ryan, Sharon, David, Peter, Lauren, Rita, Don, Margaret, Peter, Maxine and Robin, Glenn and Rose, Mon, Scott, and Tim. May they find comfort in our prayers and our love for them. We remember those who have gone before us. We pray for the lives and families of Lois Alexia McCormack, Norman Edward Ballard, Arthur James Gillam, Audrey Joan Jordan, Clive John Drayden, Albert Dowling, Frederick Charles Gore, Betty Louisa McMahon, Norman Henry Leeson, Carl Heinrich Schumacher, Bessie Searle, and Violet Josephine Nixon-Smith. We are not to be conformed to this world, for we know the place at the Father's table that Jesus has prepared for us. Give us the courage to live our lives as disciples of Jesus, anointed by your Spirit, to bind up the brokenhearted, break every chain of oppression, and boldly proclaim your liberty and peace to a hurting world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy, welcoming sinners and inviting them to the Lord's table. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith with a sincere and a true heart. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ.
The Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. Four people on Zoom, peace be with you. As we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, Jesus is Lord. For your goodness, we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory, for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You have gathered us together to feed on Christ and to remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your Spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love. Gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us in this hope that we have grasped, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Do take the notice paper home with you, and a few things coming up this week. On Wednesday is the last Wednesday of the month, so there is St. Luke's Connect, and the theme this week is Ecce, Show and Tell. Service at 9:30, followed by morning tea and festivities are all welcome. Friday, the Theatre Society play An Idle Husband by Oscar Wilde opens. The director is very excited that it's how it's going, and he's ready and raring to go. New curtains are being installed this week on the stage that the Theatre Society have paid for. They came on Friday, but they were too short, so I had to go away again. So, but they are going to come back on Wednesday. Get them up ready for Friday. We'll see. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will work. So do book your tickets for that. Opens on Friday for 3 weekends. There'll be a link in this afternoon's email, or go to stlukestheatre.asn.au and you can book there. Next Saturday at St Francis College, there's a learning day on how AI, artificial intelligence, is affecting the world and the life of the church. That should be a really fascinating day. I'm certainly going to go to that. But I think we've lost the link. There was a link to book, to register there. I'll make sure the link is in my email this afternoon. There was a link underneath there at one point, but it disappeared. Anyway. What do the children get up to today? I know you're looking at Moses, which was our other reading, which we didn't have here. It was a page and a half it went on for. Now let's stand as we sing our missional hymn, From the Rising of the Sun. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.